T-shirt is brought to you by Colonel Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We got some fun stuff. We're going to talk Toe Jam and Earl, which I'm pumped about. Finally got some news there. We've also got Google's gaming console, potentially, some rumors there, and a very popular Nintendo game coming to the Labo, which we kind of complained about, and now there's some motion there, which is exciting. So, yeah, good stuff today. But what's up, man? How you doing?
You know, I gotta say, because nobody ever hears it, and I rarely hear it, if you ever get a chance, ladies and gentlemen, Angry Tommy is really funny. Like, we had technical issues again this week, and it was totally my fault, but dude was getting a little perturbed.
Yeah, so...
And it takes a lot for him to get perturbed, but when it happens, it's freaking hilarious.
It's entertaining because I don't yell like ever. Like, I'm just not that's not in my like range of emotions. I don't even know what it would sound like. So I just get like bitter and sarcastic. And so last week we had issues with Skype, and this week we had an issue where I thought it was Skype because Skype updated on me after I told it not to update because the old version didn't work right, which was our problem last week, and then it updated anyway, and I cursed at it. I didn't really curse at it, but I was unhappy. But then it had the setting that it was missing last week, and so I was thankful for that, but then it didn't work still, and so I was upset about that. Whatever. The point of the story is Jamie could hear me the whole time. I couldn't hear him, and I'm just over here mumbling about Skype, and he's, I'm sure, just laughing on the other end as he's hearing my rantings about Skype.
Yes,
so.
Yes, I was. And I'm screaming, I can hear you, dude.
Right, which isn't helpful when I can't hear you. But good times, good times. But
yeah.
It only took us like 5 minutes to get it resolved, and here we are. So all in all, not bad.
We're not doing bad for the second week of this weekly show. Right.
By the way, it's only been a week since we, to be fair, a week and a day. So we're still figuring out the exact timing of this. But a week and a day, that's a legit record for a Gaming Uncensored show not during E3 for like the past 10 years or something. So,
well, okay, wait, let's back up a second, because the last 5 years have kind of thrown us off because we've kind of had bad life and stuff.
Sure.
Kind of happened. But you did some math like way back, like 4 or 5 years ago. And the math said that we averaged a show a week for however long it had been at that point. I think it's going to be pretty quick that we're going to be above our average again. And that will make me happy.
I agree. I'm already pumped. Like I'm excited to be talking again already. Like just doing a show a week later, like is legit awesome. Like I'm so excited to talk about news and video games and all this stuff. Like I was just pumped about it like all day. So yeah, I dig it. I'm enjoying it so far.
So here's the thing with and we've talked about this before, but about a week worth of life is about all I can handle.
Right.
Like, I do life for a week. I'm like, okay, that's it. And I'm not serious about this, sir, but don't freak out. But I was talking to Jane. I'm like, I've been home for 2 weeks. I'm already ready to go back to Tommy's. So
fair enough.
And I told her, I'm like, we may need to look at doing that for August, so you and I can talk about that August, September, or something. But
there you go.
But that week of E3, I'm like, after being home for 2 weeks, I'm like, yeah, I've had enough of this. It's time to go back to some place where it's fun.
That's fair.
But we do have a lot to cover, so we should get to that.
We should. Let's start with some games, because I've actually played something this week that's not God of War.
I have too, yeah.
So let's talk, because it is a Steam summer sale. There's all kinds of stuff. So let's talk about some games. So do you want to start?
I would like to start, and I will preface this by saying that I haven't actually played yet. I've been kind of like a scientist, kind of watching, trying to figure out what's going on. Avery is here. She's actually in the other room.
Very nice.
Wishing that she was in this room, because she really likes hanging out in here. But we went through, she had a couple games on her list that she had seen somebody play on YouTube. She's one of these millennials that watches other millennials play video games on YouTube. And the lady's name is I Is Cupcake or something like that on YouTube.
Because of course it is.
Yeah, and so... anyway, she said that she had seen this game on YouTube called Slime Rancher, and I'm like, okay, Slime Rancher, because slime is a big deal. You are about to learn the value of slime, sir. You're going to be able to forestall that for like 6 months, but the second the kid learns how to make slime, it's over in your house. Okay, that's what slime is like Play-Doh was when we were kids.
Fair.
Okay, we made Play-Doh. These kids make slime. I don't get it. I don't understand. So anyway, there's this game called Slime Ranchers, and I'm watching Avery play this thing, and I gotta be honest, the only thing that I can equate it to is Pokemon. Okay, because there's all these different slimes, and you have to collect them, and you have to feed them, and you have to grow food, and you have to do all this stuff. Like, it's a mishmash of several different games. It's very Harvest Moony, but it's in a first-person type mode. So you suck up these slimes and like a reverse gravity gun. Like, I keep thinking of it as like, what was the gun that the Ghostbusters had?
Oh yeah.
Whoa, somebody look that up. What is that called?
I gotta get it, because it's proton pack.
Okay, just like a proton pack, you suck these slimes into this gun, and then you spit them out. And you do the same thing with food as you start. And as you pick these slimes up, you have to build cages to keep them in, right?
Uh-huh.
And then, like, you get to upgrade your cages with, like, automatic feeders and various things like that. And then, here's the thing that kills me. I see her picking this stuff up out of the cage, and I'm like, what's that? And she's like, it's called a plurg. And I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, why don't you take it over here, you turn it in and get money? And I'm like, wait, did that just happen? She's like, yeah, the slime ate, and this is what came out. And so, I'm
fantastic.
Like, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You are selling slime poop. And she's like, that's correct. Right? So that apparently is the economy in the game of Slime Ranchers. Is that you get these sloths together, you feed them, they multiply, there's various types, and you collect the poop. And there are different sloths that require different environments. Like, she got one yesterday that required darkness, and so she had to buy land to add on to her ranch that was perpetually dark. And it's just a very, very interesting deal. It's very weird, but it's very interesting.
Fantastic. That sounds super bizarre.
You're laughing, but I'm telling you, like it's in my library. And when she goes home, you got to play it.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about it, actually. Like, it's popped up. So I've mentioned before in the show that I follow this subreddit that's gaming suggestions. That's great.
Right.
Just fantastic. It's one of those games that pops up pretty regularly on there, in the same kind of vein of like Stardew Valley that like pops up every suggestion ever. But Slime Rancher is one of those games that pops up in those same conversations. And so I've never looked at it or played it. I don't have any idea what the game looks like. But I know it's a big enough deal that people suggest it pretty often. So, yeah.
It's like, if you watched it, you would expect the Roadrunner and Coyote to run through.
Nice.
To run through the area, because it's very cartoony. And there's canyons, and there's lakes, and there's all kinds of stuff. And it's very... very, very cartoony. It's pretty cool. Like I said, you're gonna have to check it out. It's in my library, so when she goes home and is off of it, you'll actually be able to check it out.
Very nice. Well, I'm excited about that. That'll be a good time. And then I'll mention what I've been playing outside of God of War. I played a little bit of God of War this week, but not a ton, because I picked up something on the Steam sale that has me right now. And likewise. Go grab it out of my library at some point, because it's great. That's Frostpunk, the 11-bit game, the same guys.
That's
that did.
Out?
It's out. And
wow.
It's on sale. Not a ton on sale, but I just wanted to play it so bad that it was enough on sale that I was like, yeah, I'm going to pick it up now. So from the same guys that did This War of Mine, which for people that have been listening for a little while know we love that game. We talked to Pavel from 11-bit, it was a lot of fun to talk to him about the game. And so Frostpunk is their next game in that kind of same vein. They have some other titles out there too, but Frostpunk is very much this dismal, like, bummer of a game like This War of Mine is. And so and I've really enjoyed it. Like, I have people dying all the time, and it's famine and like freezing to death and people getting amputations because of frostbite. And I'm like, yeah, it is a good time. It's a fun game.
We really need to get Pavel back on the
we
show.
Do.
And ask him. We need to ask him. The number one question on my list is going to be, how do the guys on the team keep from committing suicide?
Oh,
do you create these games to get this stuff out of your head? Because if you don't, you'll just kill yourself. Because that's what I feel like.
Yeah, that's completely fair. Because it's so dark and just such a bummer. But in a really compelling way. So I'm going to tease a little bit right now, because I'm actually going to do a whole write-up of this for the website. So in about a week, this will show up for people over at GamingUncensored.com. Or if you want to get access to it earlier than that, go sign up at the Patreon, which you can do at GamingUncensored.com. And Patreon link right there at the top of the page. You like how I squeezed all that in?
Yeah,
you know, right there. But I'm gonna do a fuller kind of write up of the game, because I've really been enjoying it. It's really interesting. But it's essentially like a city building resource management game. The premise is there's this essentially new ice age that's happened, and so these are survivors that have escaped from London, I believe. And there's a couple of different scenarios you can play, and so depending on the scenario, the story differs a little bit. But the generic idea is, so survivors that have this big steam core that they kind of plant in this crater as the center of their civilization. And so you have to deal with three main resources, which is coal, wood, and steel, I believe, to build stuff and to keep the generator running, because that's what provides your heat and your power to do everything. And so you have to mine coal. You have to cut down frozen trees, and you have to go and get some steel either from rummaging or mining or whatever. And then ultimately you can build housing, and you can build a hospital, and you can build, you know, a factory and research center and all this kind of stuff to build up your civilization, to go out and start exploring. And so one of the early things you need to do in the game is build a beacon, which allows you to send out scouts to find other stuff, and they come back with either more people or whatever. And so on the surface, it's a very kind of traditional city management sim kind of game. It's just really, really sad because it's like trying to keep people alive. Like when you start the game, you have this one big steam core in the middle of your area that's not running yet, and you have like 80 homeless people that are just freezing to death. And you're like, good luck, you know, like go find some coal and start building some tents. And so the weather changes. There's a day-night cycle to it. And so at night, obviously, it gets colder. The weather changes, and so there's storms that come in. And the first time I played, I just got wiped out by a storm because I didn't realize that was going to be a game mechanic, and I was just kind of cruising along like, yeah, this is cool. And then all of a sudden, everybody froze to death, and I was like, ah, not so great. But it's just like you have to pass laws. And so the laws are things like child labor. You have to decide whether or not you want to legalize child labor because you need workers in this city. You got children around. Do you want to make them work? And then, like, if you decide to make children work, then you're dealing with, like, children getting hurt in accidents or, like, dying. And, like, then you have to deal with that. And it's morale is, like, a big deal in the game, obviously. And so you have to, like, keep people's spirits up. And when children start dying, that kind of bums people out. And so, yeah, it's just a whole lot of really hard kind of, like, if you're ruthless, like, you could do pretty well. but if you, like, want to try to play it, like, compassionately, it's really challenging to kind of decide, like, what do you do with people that get hurt? Do you just, like, put them in a house where you just feed them and let them be in pain? Or do you amputate their limbs and then, like, build prosthetics for them and put them back to work? And it's a very different approach to the kind of city management game, and it's very well done, so bravo to them yet again.
Wow. I don't, like, that seems like, okay. on the time aspect, we know it's gonna suck your time, but it also seems like it would probably suck your soul.
Yes. that is correct. Again, very much the same way that this War of Mine just puts you into situations that you're like, how in the world am I supposed to make a choice here? Like, these are just horrible options. It does that. One thing it doesn't do, it's not as personalized of stories as this War of Mine is. And so this War of Mine puts you in control of just a couple of people. And so in your house, you may have up to 3 or 4 or 5 people or whatever that you're dealing with, but you kind of get to know their stories. And, like, so, like, a character may have lost their child or be caring for, like, a sick grandparent or whatever. And so you really get attached to these very personal stories. Frostpunk doesn't have nearly that level of personal stories to it. All the people in the game, all the people that live in your society, in your civilization that you're dealing with, like, have names, and you can kind of get backstories off of them or whatever, but the game doesn't really push that. It's not a meaningful component of the game. And so unless you want to just sit there and read text and kind of dig about these people, there's not as much of the kind of personal story. There's a few exceptions to that and kind of the campaign stuff. But for the most part, it's a much more, you play as, like, the leader of the people, and they either like you or don't like you en masse, as opposed to caring about individual stories. So it's a very different gameplay experience than this War of Mine, but both of them are just super downers. So if you're looking for a game that's going to bum you out, either one of those is a good option.
Well, because it is a Steam summer sale, I also picked up Life is Strange, which I'm pissed about. You're probably laughing.
Yeah.
Because I saw it and I'm like, I'm gonna pick it up, save box, whatever. And then the next day, they cut it in half with the bonus episode, which I wanted the bonus episode because it's a whole episode, you know? So Anyway, I picked up both.
Nice.
And gave those guys $8 more than what I should have, which made me really angry. And I have decided that I'm not going to buy anything else on the sale unless it's on my wish list and it's featured.
Right.
I'm not touching it. Gotta say thanks to Cabbage because he picked up for me. He heard me complaining last week about wanting the Metro series, and he picked up Metro Last Light.
Very nice.
For me, which is the second game in that list. So thank you, Cabbage. I have the old Metro in my library, so I'm probably not going to pick up Redux because I already have it.
Sure.
So, but he picked that up. Really pretty excited about that to get started on that. And I think, like you, I think Life is Strange is probably going to be what I start playing with next week for site content.
Yeah.
Because those are so good.
Yeah.
Have you played Before the Storm yet?
I haven't, no. So I'm excited to grab it from you now and get to play it. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that.
Which, by the way, Steam staff, if you're listening, we love you guys. We're not trying to steal from you. This is just how we do gaming on this show.
Right.
So if you want to lock us out, okay, yeah, whatever.
By all means.
But we're just trying to put together some decent content here. So
yeah,
Gabe, all the guys over there, we're sorry. but I am really excited about that because that's also one of those games that ended up for me being really, really depressing.
Yes. Because that's another bummer of a game.
There's no, like, good way to end that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real good ending out of that. So,
yeah.
I'm excited about Before the Storm. Also, The Adventures of Captain Spirit is out.
I know. I have it downloaded and ready to go.
I have not been able to get it because when I tried, Steam was like no, because everybody was trying to get it apparently. So
yeah,
I'm gonna get that and we're gonna play that, so it's gonna be lots of Life is Strange over the next few weeks.
Very nice, good stuff. That being said, should we get to news?
Let's do it.
Really quick, I say that. Before I get to news, just so I don't forget, Patreon supporters, thank you guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. I like that list getting a little bit longer.
Yeah!
It's a good thing. If you want to add your name to the list of Patreon supporters, you can do that. GamingUncensored.com, and there's that Patreon link. Right there at the top of the page on the right-hand side, say become a patron and give us some money, and we'll buy games and talk about them.
Am I mistaken, or is Zeke also showing up over at the Facebook page?
Yeah.
He's been a little bit of everywhere.
Or on the Twitter, and Ty, our boy Ty, has been over on the Facebook page. And yeah,
right.
There's been good conversation going on.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I want whatever Ty's got going on, I want that.
No
Holy
joke.
Cow.
Yeah.
That guy's been playing some serious video games.
He's like, if you want to hear about any game I've been playing recently, here's the list. And then it's like 20 games. And they're like big games, like not like just like, oh, I've been playing Peggle, you know. It's like, okay, The Witcher 3 and what's the new Shadow of War game? I can't even think of what it's called. Shadow of Mordor or whatever.
Right.
It just on and on of all these games that he's been playing. That's like, I'm really jealous of your time to play. And then working,
yeah,
60 hours a week on top of that. So God bless you, friend. That's fantastic.
Well, I say again, I said earlier in the show, I really think I need to come back August or September when we don't have E3 and we can just lock ourselves in a room with breaks for the little girl and just play games.
Yes.
That I think that's going to need to happen.
That's fair.
Because he's got me excited now. I'm like, oh, crap, I need to play some games.
Right. No joke. So many games out there. So, speaking of, let's jump into the news, and I love this. We may lose everybody right here, but I'm just so excited about this, I don't even care. We're going to start with Toe Jam and Earl, of all things.
Woo!
which you and I love. And so, several years ago now, it's 2015, I believe, is when this started.
Right.
There was a Kickstarter started up for a Toe Jam and Earl remake, essentially, that these guys from this studio called Human Nature are doing. And you and I, being big fans of Toe Jam and Earl, gave to it and have been excited about this for a while. And it just keeps getting pushed back and keeps getting pushed back. And so we finally got another update. And this is update number 63, if you're keeping count about this thing, that they plan. And I'm going to say plan because I'll believe it when I see it, kind of thing. But they plan to put out the game this year. The new Toe Jam and Earl remake is supposed to come out this year. And a little bit of newsy part of it, we had talked about this a while back. It was going to be published by Adult Swim Games, who has several games out there. It is no longer going to be published by Adult Swim Games. Human Nature Studios is actually going to put it out themselves, citing that Adult Swim Games had other games that they were planning to launch this summer, and so when Human Nature wanted to get the Toe Jam and Earl game out this year as well, it just didn't quite make sense with their release schedule and Adult Swim, and apparently everything's good between them, whatever. That's great. But they're self-publishing, which for a Kickstarter game kind of makes sense, I suppose. But it's supposed to be out this year, and I'm really excited about that.
I'm like you. I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm wondering, are those guys still getting money? I mean, I don't know what the final tally on the Kickstarter was, but it wasn't that much money.
Yeah, let me pull it up really quick and tell you. So there's not a place to pledge at this point. They're $508,000. They had a $400,000 goal. They ended up at $508,000. So
right,
yeah, good for them.
And it kind of makes me think that these are just a bunch of dudes with real jobs that are just sort of like doing this in their spare time. And you think, like, if somebody gives us $500,000, I'm going to quit everything and just do this show.
Sure.
But it might not be that feasible.
Sure.
So that may be what's going on there. I'm excited to see it. I just don't know what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I'm skeptical just because it's already taken as long as it has, but that's what they say, and so for now I'm hopeful that they'll actually pull it off. So the question, I have a couple of questions about it that I'm looking to see if they have some answers to. By the way, they are doing a closed beta just in about a week or so, and so that's cool if you were at the early access level for that, which we were not. It took quite a bit of money. Which apparently it was $60 and about 2,500 people did that. Wow. That's nuts. So wait, if you donated $60 to this
now
thing.
Now I'm thinking we should have. But,
right.
You know.
That's a big chunk of cash. So they're doing that in the next week. So that's cool and exciting. So there's at least something there. I just really, this is the thing about Toe Jam and Earl and for mini games from our childhood, I don't know if they're just going to be able to recreate that nostalgia. You know, like, that's ultimate. Like, Toe Jam and Earl is an incredibly stupid game, right? Like, it's just dumb. But that was the fun of it when I was 12 years old. 35-year-old me, I don't know if it's going to catch me the same way other than nostalgia.
No, trust me. We're your wife will tell you that we're still those guys.
That's true.
Like we're still those guys. We are, and it's just a question of whether you can pull it off. If it's old school Toe Jam and Earl, the way that we remember it, it's gonna own me. But you gotta be funny. And you gotta know what you're doing, and believe it or not, I can't believe I'm going to say this, You're a very serious audio professional. I'm a less serious audio professional, which, by the way, I had to run the board at church this weekend. Man, my mix sucked. I got some help over there, and I got lazy, and the mix was awful. So we're both very picky. I say all of this to say that the soundtrack has to be good.
Yes.
And, you know, back in the day, we were listening to 8-bit music and we didn't care.
Yeah.
Now I care.
Yeah.
By
the way, just because I have it here queued up.
I love it!
This is from original Toe Jam and Earl.
You know, that's grooving for that back in the day.
Fantastic. The soundtrack to Toe Jam and Earl was just amazing. In the, like, craziest, like, Sega Genesis kind of way ever. This was, I've mentioned on the show before, when I was young, I was the Nintendo guy with my friends. And then, like, in the Super Nintendo, I had some good friends who had a Sega Genesis. And then in 64, I had some good friends that had a PlayStation. And so we'd go, like, we'd spend the night at each other's house, depending on what game we wanted to play. So if we wanted to play something on the Super Nintendo, we'd stay a night at my house. If we wanted to play something on Sega, we'd stay a night at their house. And so Toe Jam and Earl was that game for months on end. That was the deciding factor of whose house we slept at over the weekend, because we wanted to play Toe Jam and Earl so much. And so that song specifically is just so rooted in my memory and just takes me back to my buddy's basement when we were 12 years old, you know, playing this ridiculous game with the old black Sega controllers or whatever. Like, again, that's what I'm so worried about with it, is that that's my connection to this game. And I've played it as an adult, and I really enjoyed it as an adult, but it was still the original version that I played with as an adult. This is going to be new. It's going to be new artwork. I don't know what they're going to do to the music, and so there's a lot they can screw up and kill that nostalgia with it. So.
Well, and I got to say one thing before we move on here. I believe this is going to be one of those titles, if we really want to do it right, and this is bizarre for me to say this at nearly 40 years old, but if we really want to do it right, I'm going to have to come to your house.
Yep.
We're going to have to get, like, 2 liters of like, some soda. I don't care what soda, but we got to get, like, 2 liters of soda. And just, like, Little Debbie snack cake.
Yep.
That's how we need to jam on Toe Jam and Earl. Because that's, I don't know about you, but that's what we did back in the day.
Absolutely. Like, 100%. Like, and it has to be in a room sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Split screen thing, because that's one of the brilliant things about Toe Jam and Earl, is, like, when you were together, like, it would be a unified screen. And then when you got far enough apart from each other, it flipped to split screen. And so, yeah, it has to be that whole thing.
So, boys and girls, that is on the list of Gaming Uncensored projects
yes.
to do. That will happen. And that, to me, will be the deciding factor of whether they nailed it or not.
Agreed.
Like we can play it separately and we may have our opinions. But the deciding factor for me is when I get in that room with you, we have the soda and we have the Little Debbies, and we fire it up and off we go.
Yep.
If they get that, then that's it.
Golden.
You know?
Agreed. 100% agree. That's the test. So excited about it. Hope it comes out this year. That may be our end of year project whenever we get together for year in review stuff. We'll see what happens.
Right.
That would be a cool one, though. So all that said, moving on from Toe Jam and Earl, I don't know how to transition out of Toe Jam and Earl, so we're just going to do it the hard way. To Sony and what we talked about last week. It's so nice to say what we talked about last week, and it was actually last week. Sorry, we say that all the time. It's never true. It's actually true now. What we talked about last week with Sony not playing nice with crossplay stuff. So this week at the Game Lab conference in Spain, Sean Layden was actually asked about this, and here's his response. So let me give you the question really quick that the guy kind of presented to him. He said, it seems to be an issue at the moment that Sony isn't listening to its players or doesn't seem to be, and that crossplay, Fortnite particularly, I wondered if there was any plans to open it up. It seems to be that Sony's not listening. So that's the question that was presented. Here's Sean Layden's response. He says, we're hearing it. We're looking at a lot of the possibilities. You can imagine that the circumstances around that affect a lot more than just one game. I'm confident we'll get to a solution which will be understood and accepted by our gaming community while at the same time supporting our business, end quote. That's their response.
That's very Sony of them. That is very Sony of you, Sony. I feel like it might be time to bring our friend back, Mr. Butler.
I believe it's
time for Kevin Butler to come back because y'all be screwing up.
Yeah.
Like,
oh man, Kevin Butler was so good. Bring back Kevin Butler.
Yeah, because, like, seriously, if you could just roll him out of the closet every time you screw up, all will be forgiven.
Yes.
And you're there right now.
Yes. This is a good time for that.
Yes, and we talked about this last. It's not just about Fortnite. It's not about Fortnite. It's about everything else.
Yeah.
Everybody else in this gaming community, including Nintendo, is all of a sudden very open to sharing and doing different things together, which to me is bizarre, and I never thought we would see it, but that's where we are. Like, you have Star Fox in games, and you have Mario in games where he hasn't been before, and you're like, this is what's going on in the world, and I never thought I would see it, but Sony needs to play. And like I said last week, for me, this is all about the accessibility controller. Like, I want that controller on my PlayStation.
Yeah.
I want it for my PC, but I want it even more for my PlayStation. It has to work with the PlayStation. And
I'm really skeptical that they're going to do it at this point. Maybe.
They need to get this done.
Yeah, they need to hear us complain about it enough, and I mean us as the gaming community, broader than just you and I, because they probably aren't listening to you and I. No. But as the gaming community, it's good that we keep repeating this and saying, hey, guys, this is a problem, and y'all can do this. Like so the quote's totally generic. It doesn't say anything specific at all, and it's just bad. But the idea, I'm confident we'll get to a solution which will be understood and accepted by our gaming community and supporting our business. Yeah, like, you could get there pretty easily because your business is supported by your gaming community being happy with you, you know? Like, this is where, like, Sony screwed up before. It actually, the question starts, I skipped this part, but now, like, it seems practical. The guy who asked the question started by saying, I thought it was fascinating, you, meaning Sean Hayden, talking about the PlayStation 3 flying too close to the sun, your Icarus moment, you called it, and then the PlayStation 4 coming back to basics. That was a big problem with the PlayStation 3, and it was really, really bad for them, that they thought that they were such a big deal with the PlayStation 2 that their consumers would never leave them, that they could put out a console that was priced way higher than the competition, even if you can make a good argument that it was worth it, that there was value there, it still was placed way higher. And consumers ran from it. And the Xbox 360 reaped the rewards of that. And it seems like Sony's at that same place of just arrogance right now to say, we're going to do whatever we need to do for our business and our gaming community will stand by us. And it's just like, I don't think they will. You know, like, they haven't in the past. The gaming community, and I'll include myself in this, we're kind of fickle. Like, I'm going to go to whoever gives me the best experience. I'm not tied to Sony. That's my console of choice right now because I love the games on the PlayStation. But, like, if you treat me badly, I'll happily go play my games primarily on some other console. You know, like, I don't have this brand loyalty. I have product loyalty. I'm loyal to good games. I'm going to go to whoever has good games and is treating me good as a consumer. And if you don't want to do that, then okay, cool. I'll go play games somewhere else.
Yeah, and I mean, this should be look, here's my thing, and this is why I'm kind of upset about this whole deal. And we talked about it during E3, why we didn't like the whole esports rags to riches thing. Right. These guys are making way too much money to be talking about, we're just going to do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it literally, we pay these people's paychecks, okay? We make it so that they can make all the money and do what it is that they're doing.
Yep.
So they need to be listening to those of us peons that actually provide a lot. I don't know what Sean makes, but I'm guessing it's several $1 million a year.
Sure.
Okay. I don't want to hear that from somebody that makes several $1 million. I really don't.
Yep.
Like, my biggest concern is how am I going to get back to your house for some game time at the beginning of September or whatever. That's my biggest concern. That's going to cost me a grand total of maybe $1,200. That's the level of the people that you're talking to.
Yep.
I don't want to hear that from you.
Yep.
I just don't.
This idea that there's some differentiation between your gaming community and your business. Like, your gaming community is your business. Like, you are only in business as a gaming company as long as your gaming community is behind you. And so, do stuff that people are saying. Now, I get it. Like, you shouldn't just cave to, like, mob mentality or whatever, but this isn't that. This is a no-brainer to me. Like, it just, like, it's something consumers want. It's something that everybody else is able to do without costing them their businesses. You can do it too. You could lead in this. You could continue to be the like console leader right now and do this, and it's probably not going to affect you in any meaningful way for your bottom line, and if nothing else, it'll preserve some goodwill with your consumers, which is hard to put a price tag on, but obviously matters. The PlayStation 3 is a testament to that. So,
yep.
All that said, do better, Sony. Be less stupid. If you take my advice on anything, be less stupid. I think that's good advice for anything. So, moving on to Google. Again, don't know how to get there, so we're just going to hard transition into Google now. And the ever-persistent rumor of Google getting into gaming, we also have this with Amazon. Amazon, we've seen they're a little bit of a foray into gaming, at least. And so here's apparently Google's plans, or at least rumored plans, going into the future. Sorry, my Skype is trying to sign out. Dang it, Skype.
I still got you. We're all good.
We're all good. It's trying to update right now. It's stupid thing is trying to update in the middle of a freaking call. And it's like trying to freaking hang up the call because it needs to freaking update after I told the thing not to freaking up. Sorry. Okay. So. What the crap, Skype?
See, that's what I was talking about. That is gold. Gold.
Why would you update while I'm in the middle of a call and then say, hey, we're signing you out. Are you sure you want to sign? No, I never said I wanted to sign. I'm not sure I want to sign. Of course not. You idiot. Okay, sorry. Freaking technology, man.
Sorry, that just made my week. Like, seriously, that's the whole week right there. That's snake cabbage. That's a segment. That's a segment. That is production right there. Get that done. I love you, man. Get that done. I'm telling you right now, get it done.
All that said, so here's Google's plan, according to a rumor, floating out there right now. They have a three-pronged approach to what their gaming platform is going to look like. Prong number one is some sort of streaming platform. Not surprising, whatever. Prong number two is some sort of hardware. Not specified, whatever. Prong number three, and I think this is the prong that actually matters, because the other two don't matter without this one, an attempt to bring game developers under the Google umbrella, either through aggressive recruiting or major acquisitions. And so I think for Google to be viable as a like competitor in the gaming platform arena, especially like console competitor, if we're talking about the Google whatever gaming console coming out. But you, Google, we know can make hardware. Google, we know can do streaming tech and all that stuff. What they, what we don't know that Google can do is make games.
But see, the thing I love about this, the reason this excites me, and the same reason I like the idea of Amazon doing it also, is Google has money. They don't have to make games. They have money. They can buy games. And they can hire studios to make Google exclusive games. Like, Google's got more money than they know what to do with.
Right. And
they
and
can
that's,
do this.
Right. And that's the thing that we're talking about here. Of course, they could pay to license games and have ports of them, but that doesn't get you very far. Because why do you need a Google console if you can play it on PlayStation or Xbox or whatever, and you already have one of those? The trick is they have to have some exclusive content. They have to have something big, and so
they need one game. They need not Halo, obviously, but they need that title.
Right. I'm trying to think of a game that's been gone for a while that needs to come back that could be an exclusive. Off the top of my head, I don't know. But they could do something crazy like buy out Rockstar or something like that, you know, and I know that's not going to happen. But that would be the level of what they need to do to have some exclusive thing. So Apple kind of tried to do this with the they got that game company to put out a game. I don't remember what it's called. That's like an Apple only game. So tells you that I don't think this was incredibly successful. but like Journey came to Apple devices or whatever. Like that, they need that, but at obviously a much bigger level. That they have to have something that's kind of earth shattering, exclusive if they want to be able to compete. Otherwise, it's just more noise in the gaming ecosystem.
Well, look, I'll tell you what they need. And I can't think of, they need a Cyberpunk-level game that is exclusive to Google. They need a Mass Effect, a Cyberpunk. They need one of the, they need a Last of Us. It's that level type of stuff.
Yes. Completely agree. By the way, that game company's game is called Sky, and it's only on iOS devices. I'm not sure if that's true. I'm not even sure if it's out yet. Whatever. But it wasn't a huge deal. It was something they showed off at one of their tech events, and people were like, "Oh, that's cool! Like they're getting serious about gaming." But like, it's already a platform for gaming. You know, like Apple and Android devices are already a gaming platform. This is doing something bigger and more than that, and I having a streaming service may be a viable thing. Again, I don't think right now, I don't think next year, but it's coming, and we're aware of that. I have a hard time of them seeing them getting that big exclusive to kind of disrupt the industry. I feel like it just has to be something else. I don't know what it is that they could do that would be disruptive. I feel like they can. I mean, Google obviously could disrupt the game industry in some meaningful way. I just don't think it's by like putting out a console.
I don't know that it's putting out a console, but I think if they make up their mind to do it, they're probably going to do it well.
Yeah. They've got the resources.
They do. And that's really all you need.
Yeah.
And that's like going back to the Sony thing. Y'all got resources. I don't want to hear about how this affects your business because y'all got resources. And so does Google. And the thing is, Google apps are available on everything.
Sure.
Like, my life runs on Google.
Yep.
I hate to admit it, but that's the truth. I still have a Samsung phone because it's a Google-based phone. I'm going to buy another one. I know you have an iPhone, which I think is funny because the rest of your life runs on Google.
Well, the great thing is that all the Google stuff is on the iPhone. Like, yeah. My Google Calendar, my Google Docs, my Google Drive, everything is accessible there. And so, yeah. It's saturated, like they're everywhere already, and so getting them a little bit deeper into my life doesn't feel like a stretch by any means.
Nope.
So we'll see if they can pull it off. So quickly, because we're already running out of time, because that's how this goes now. Go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, because there's quite a bit we're not going to get through. But we'll throw in a couple other things really quick. One is the Labo, because we put together Labo over E3 holiday. I like calling it E3 holiday. Over the E3 holiday, we put together Labo and played around with that. Some big news on the Labo front, which you probably didn't expect to hear. Mario Kart 8 is now Labo compatible with the little motorcycle thing that we put together. You can play Mario Kart 8 with the motorbike Labo kit. And that sounds super cool. I haven't done it yet, but I want to because that sounds really, really fun, actually.
It's still in your house. That's pretty amazing. That's a use of something. Like, that's what you need to do to keep the Labo relevant.
Yes. Yeah, and we complained about how they didn't have very compelling software. Like, the game, the motorbike game that you have for putting together the motorbike kit was super easy. Like, it was just not a challenge at all. Once, kind of, even not knowing how to do stuff, like, I never didn't win. You know, I got first in every single race. Mario Kart's a challenging game, and so that would actually present some interesting challenge with the Labo. It may work terribly, you know, it may not be functional at all, but at least it's cool as an idea of using this peripheral you have in a way that seems like a very low-hanging fruit. I don't imagine Nintendo had to do a whole lot to make this compatible, and so yeah, I dig it. Good for them on trying to keep something that they put out that's pretty gimmicky at least a little bit relevant going further.
Next thing you know, you'll be building a tennis racket for Mario Tennis.
Yes.
You will do it.
I would. Oh, absolutely. that would be a blast. So couple of things we'll probably end on these, but a couple of things of the video game world intersecting with movie and film, and so let's go from less absurd to more absurd. So the less absurd one, this might actually be legit, pretty amazing. Showtime, Amblin Television, and 343 Industries are teaming together to launch a Halo show. 10 episodes have been ordered for a Halo show on Showtime. Production starts next year. I don't know when, if they have a release at this point, 2020, 2021, you would think at the earliest, if they're starting production early next year. I think I could dig a Halo TV show. If they do it well, and I'm glad it's on Showtime, because that means that they will hopefully have a little bit more budget and a lot less restrictions on what they can do. I hope they can pull
Naked
this off.
Naked Master Chief, baby! Naked, no, actually, even better. Naked Cortana.
Yeah, isn't Cortana already pretty naked? Like,
well, I'm just saying, like, that's a, that could be.
She's
a kind thing.
Of she's kind of Barbie dollish, right? Like, she doesn't have any of the bits and pieces.
Right.
Yeah.
But trust me, they can add that.
But like, that's fair.
Yeah.
So yeah, that might be a thing being on Showtime. I think it could be cool. I think they could really royally screw it up, but especially with knowing that there's a new Halo coming, probably not till 2020 or 2021. Like, this kind of in conjunction with that could kind of reanimate Halo in a really exciting way, or it could end up in oversaturating Halo and me losing interest in it altogether. But honestly, if they do the show well, it could be, like, that's a cool world. Theoretically, they haven't released, like, anything about plot yet, but what it sounds like is it's going to be kind of centered around the original Halo kind of story arc with the war between humans and the Covenant. And I would love just that world on Halo, like, with the Covenant and whatever, going deep into that world. I think it could be really, really cool. So I'm hopeful for this one. The next one, I don't even know where to go. This is all true, what I'm about to tell you. So there is a live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movie in the works. So there's that. James Marsden has been cast as Sonic the Hedgehog, James Marsden, who I think of as being Cyclops in the X-Men movies from a decade or 15 years ago or whatever, right. Who is also Teddy in Westworld, kind of his more recent big role, will be Sonic the Hedgehog. So there's that. And then to add one more layer on this, apparently, Jim Carrey is in final negotiations to be Dr. Robotnik.
Okay, so a couple of things on this. Here's my question. See how I threw that classic gaming uncensored? Uh-huh. Here's uh-huh. my question. If this is happening, why in the world can we not have a couple $1 million to do this show on a regular basis? Like, seriously, this is all I want to do. And if somebody is going to pay Jim Carrey and what's his name?
James Marsden.
To be in a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, why the crap do I have 4 jobs? Yeah. Why is that happening? Somebody explain it to me because I don't get it. Like, seriously. You like your job, I like my job, but if there was no money, we'd quit.
Sure.
We would. That's not a thing. So, why is this happening? Why can we not do this show full time? If that thing happens, we should be able to do this show full time.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You're not incorrect, and I, for the life of me, can't imagine. And I'm like... So it's being directed by Jeff Fowler, who won a Oscar or was nominated for an Oscar for an animated short in 2005.
Yeah, he ain't getting an Oscar for this. Right. Holy crap.
So whatever is there. But it's also the director of Deadpool, of all things, is producing the movie. It just keeps getting weirder and weirder. Supposed to come out next holiday. So next holiday season, look for Sonic the Hedgehog in the movie theater. I just feel, because it's a year and a half out, and there's already this is multiple things I've seen about this. Actually, I think this might be a big deal. I think this might end up being like a thing that's not just a joke. And I just can't imagine it not just being a joke, but like James Marsden's like a real actor. Like, that's a legit dude. And Jim Carrey seems like a really good fit for a movie like this. How is Sonic the Hedgehog getting made into a movie? I just can't wrap my head around it for everything within me.
Again, how do you think? I know.
I say that. There was like a Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon. Sonic the Hedgehog is super saturated. Like in my head, I only think about it as the Sega game. But like there was a cartoon show when we were young pretty good. Like I remember watching it and like being into it and whatever. And like there's still like Sonic the Hedgehog stuff happening today. And I don't know. I just don't see that fan base. Like, I don't see, like, people, like, just yearning for Sonic the Hedgehog anywhere. But yet, there's still constantly Sonic the Hedgehog stuff all the time.
I don't, seriously, they can have Sonic the Hedgehog if I can come to your house for like, 2 weeks at a time. Well, no, actually, that's not what's going to happen. I'm not coming to your house. We need studio space so you can leave your house and
there
I can
go.
So I can not annoy your wife while I'm around all the time. That's fair. What needs to happen, okay? So if that happens, then this can happen. I'm totally okay with it.
There you
so
go.
Guys, help us figure that out, because I mean, if Sonic happens and I don't get to do this show full time, I might as well just give up. Like, seriously, I might as well just give up. Like, why?
Yeah. So, all that being said, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com, to see stuff we didn't get to, including Skyrim VR getting updated, both of those things, and the Olympic Committee talking about esports and... Maybe one day we see video games in the Olympics?
It better not happen. Again, if that happens, I quit.
Yep, that's fair. I think more likely we see an Olympic committee kind of sponsored e-sporting event or whatever, sanctioned event, but surely not an Olympics, right? Surely not. Who knows at this point? Things are screwed up. The world, whatever. So go by the show notes, GamingUncensored.com.
We've got to cover a couple of things here because we've had a couple of questions on the Facebook page, one from Diehard that was like, dude, you guys are only an hour. Are you still doing segments? The answer to that question is yes, we're still doing segments. We still have the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
You submit them, we will play them. It will happen. Do not stop making segments.
Agreed.
We will play a segment if you submit it. By the way, Cabbage, I still want that remix. Thank you very much. segments are still a thing on this show. Do not think otherwise. You guys made this show when we started. You're the reason we're still here. Fire up the mic. Call the voicemail line. GamingUncensored@gmail.com. And we will play it. And I'll even go back to our old tagline. We will play anything.
Yes.
13 years in and we've only not played one segment. And that was Cavendish's fault, and he did it to see if we really wouldn't play it. So,
and by the way, the piece of production that you're about to hear right at the end of the show that says we'll play just about anything was made by Cabbage. So
right.
There you go.
So yeah, we will play anything.
Just
about. So yeah, submit those, get that done. Go by the Facebook page, go by the Patreon, go by the Twitter. Lots of great stuff happening at the Twitter.
Yes.
I love the way the new website is set up because the tweets actually make sense.
Right.
Because I can see your tweet and I can see what you're tweeting about. And like it's awesome.
Yeah.
So go by the Twitter. Check that out. We've got like 40 followers, which is ridiculous.
Share us. Get us some more followers, please.
I have like 500 followers, and I'm a handicapped guy with a loud mouth that never posts anything. So I'm like, there's something wrong there.
Don't know. Whatever. Share us. Well, let me mention that because we've been calling for this recently. Share us on social media for sure. Go and review us on whatever service you get your podcast from. Again, if you've made it this far to the show, hopefully you like it. Go tell other people you like it so they find the show too, and we can grow the community for sure.
Are we on Spotify yet?
Because I
just did my annual. Spotify does that thing where they're like, give us money and we'll give you like 3 months. And last year it was 99 cents, and I was hoping they would do that again, but I just did 3 months for $9.99, so I'm back into the Spotify thing, so we need to get back on Spotify.
Gotcha. I'm looking right now to see. I don't see us popping up yet, so I'll have to check.
We are everywhere else. I can ask Alexa to pull us up.
That's awesome.
And that's pretty cool. Which, by the way, I have to mention, if you have one of those in your house, the extra special edition of Skyrim is actually pretty good.
Nice.
I actually played that the other night when I was in bed and I couldn't sleep. And it made me smile. It does not suck. It is very Skyrim. You can actually level up. If you have an Echo in your house, definitely, definitely check it out.
Yeah.
So, all of that being said, we gotta go. I can't believe this show is only an hour. I'm still
flies by, man.
That's insane. But I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.